18. I tried to, God dropped this message in my spirit, and when he does that, he typically gives me this cool little outline type idea to go with it, and I was working on that, and then God just really kind of broke it, and got a lot better for me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it from my mind to my mouth to present it to you in a good way, but we'll just trust the Lord that we will. If anybody asked, our Wi-Fi is out today, so that's why we're not recording the service. So if you get in contact, somebody say, they didn't record the service. We wanted to, but I'll be honest with you, it ain't hurt my feelings that we're not. Because I like to move around. I feel like I'm hindered when I've got to stay under the microscope. I thought about my testimony this morning. Used to, when I first got saved, I was real excited. I was a ball of energy when I got saved. I've calmed down a lot. Rick, you believe that? He said no. I have. I'd get sideways with people about Jesus. It didn't take much. I think one preacher said, Kevin, I think you would testify or shout or run or preach at the drop of a hat, and you'll be the one dropping the hat. Well, now it's my wife. She drops the hat. Sorry, as a hat reference. But I thought about my testimony. I thought about when I got saved. And I still run into people and I still see people that I knew before I got saved. Do y'all know that experience? There's a song, and I love the song. It says, I look a lot the same. I even wear some of the same clothes, right? But the one on the inside's different, right? And I love that, but I sometimes I do this. I'll see somebody that I knew from school or I knew from prior to being saved. And I try to kind of put them in a place of where they used to be. Amen? Where they used to be. That's, I know them from, and this is who they are. But man, 15, 20 years have went by, and I'm not the same person. So I've got to just assume that maybe they're not the same person too. Amen? It's kind of hard to do, ain't it, sometimes? But I started thinking about what is God? I mean, when I got saved, man, it was radical transformation to me. I was seeing everything different. But now that I've been saved, going on 15, 16 years, I've been saved for a while now, I'm living it. And I started thinking about the things that God added to my life. And my testimony is different today than it was August 28 of 04. I was radically changed and I wouldn't go into hell, and those were amazing things, and Jesus rescued me right where I'm at. But there's some amazing things that are going on today in my life. I'm full of grace. I'm full of grace. I'm not telling you that I'm giving grace. I'm just full of it. Amen, full of grace. What does that mean? There's times when I start to do things, say things, think things, and even think about doing some things. I know we're not like that in here. But God all of a sudden comes on the inside there and says, give him grace. I gave you grace. And I can give and receive grace now. Yeah, that's part of my testimony. I can give it and I can receive it. Anybody need to receive it in here? Some of y'all need to receive some grace. Amen? You're sitting here trying to work it, trying to be the best you can be. Let me tell you this. God loves you despite of you. So he can give you some grace. Some of y'all need to learn to get the ability to give grace. Y'all are holding people to a standard that you don't even hold yourself to. Whew. I didn't mean to preach that right there. I'm still sharing my testimony. Love. Full of love. Man, I can give and receive love. You know what love is before I got saved? Love is, what could you do for me? Love really is what can I do for you without no expectations? What can I do to make your life better without any expectations? Full of forgiveness. I can give forgiveness. Boy, I used to not be able to do that. Is there anybody in here need some repentance on that deal right there? You're sitting there just, so you've told people, you've explained to people how you've forgiven them, but if they ask you just the right question, you can give them a 5-minute, 20-minute situation why you shouldn't have forgiven them, right? Well, you didn't if you're going on in that 20 minutes. I've learned how to give forgiveness and get forgiveness. Amen? I've learned how to forgive myself. Whew, well, I'm sorry about that. Peace. Peace. There are some things that I didn't even know that I had peace for until we went through them. I feel like we're on the verge of either being real cold in this service or real, real hot. Is there anybody in this room who thought you would have fell apart, but instead you fell into Jesus and His peace? I mean, you've been given some information, you've been given some news, you've been given situations that you said, man, if I ever get that, I'm going to fall out. But instead, you fell right into Christ. Instead, a matter of fact, you didn't fall at all. You stood, you walked, you made it through, and people are still watching you going, I'm expecting them to fall apart. Amen? I would like to make this about, but I'm just telling you my testimony. Man, in 2021, going into 2022, I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world did I make it through 18, 19, 20, and 21? How did I do that? It's just the grace of God, just the peace of God. That passes all. And you don't even know that it passes all understanding until you can't understand everything and the peace is still there. Whew. I mean, you're trying to get the situation worked out. And you're sitting there going, I don't know how to get through this without you. Aren't you glad you got a testimony? Do you know your testimony comes with a test? It has to be tested. Now, don't get me wrong. I love this. And don't run me down after church and try to have a 20-minute conversation all spiritualized on me. I love I got saved and I'm not going to hell. I love that. I mean, I love that. Don't get me wrong. I love that. But praise God, you know what I love? I love, man, hey, God's doing a work in my life today. He's doing something with me today. He let me forgive my brother. He let me forgive my sister. He let me forgive my mother and my father. Never mind. He let me not punch somebody right in the throat who deserved it. There we go, finally. Hey, man, there's some people that deserve it. You know what I mean? But you didn't. Thank God. Golly, Bob. Y'all are so, I don't know how y'all contain it. Y'all are good at it. 1 Samuel 18, let's look at it. I'm preaching this morning about somebody who broke the code. They broke the New Testament code in the Old Testament, and I don't know how they did it other than just blind faith. Amen? Blind faith. When we were in Utah, we had a group, it was about half of them or more here. When we went to Utah, the guy, what's his name? Rick, he said, you can explain the gospel in 5 words or less. Then he got us down to 3 words. Does anybody know what those 3 words are? The gospel in 3 words. Stand up and do it. All right. Jesus for me. The gospel in 3 words. For Jesus for me. This guy broke that code in the Old Testament. And I'm going to show it to you. His name's Jonathan. The title of this message is Jesus for Me. If you wanted to share the gospel with any person on the face of this planet, you could go to them and share that right there. You could just walk up to somebody and start a cold conversation with Jesus for me. And they're going to be like, what? Jesus died instead of me. Jesus took the penalty for sin instead of me. Jesus died instead of me. Whoa, that's good, ain't it? Watch this right here in 1 Samuel 18. I love this. I'm going to preach y'all. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to give y'all some background. I'm going to give y'all a little bit of history in this thing. Then I'm going to give you the meat of what God's given me to give you. Chapter 18. And it came to pass when he made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with David, with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even the sword, and his bow and his girdle. And David went out with whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. All right, let's just cut down to it. I want to give y'all some information. It's so good. Y'all know what's happening? Do y'all know what happened right up there in 17? If you get a chance today, go home and look at it. In chapter 17 is one of the greatest stories in the whole Bible. Anybody can preach it. Anybody could. I mean, you don't even have to have a license to preach 1 Samuel 17. All you got to do is read it and read it excitingly, and you're preaching. Right? That's David versus Goliath. But right out there at 17 is David. He made mention that he could handle the fight. That's good. Then he got in the fight. I'm bulling 17 down into a quick sermon, okay? In 17, he took what? 5 smooth stones? He drew nigh to the giant. He slew the giant. Come on, y'all. That's easy in the church. Everybody in this church, yeah, I know that. Y'all been getting that since third grade. Man, but this is the favorite part right there in 17. It's my favorite part because I'm more of a rock'em sock'em guy. That's what I like. I like the blood and the guts and a whole lot of danger. At the end of this thing, David, I'm going to preach a little bit right here. David, what happens is he hit the giant in the top of his head and he fell flat on his face. It shouldn't happen that way. If you get hit in the head with a rock so hard that it knocks you unconscious, Donnie, you should fall backwards. But God's so cool. He says, I'll take your enemies and I'll plant them on their faces. Amen? I'm going to preach a little more than I thought now. All of a sudden, David walks up to him. He's unconscious. He's not dead. I preached this 20 years ago. He's unconscious. He's not dead. Some of y'all got problems that have been knocked out, but they ain't gone. David looked at it. He said, you know what? I didn't bring a sword to this party, but there's one laying here. Man, I wish y'all do some Bible study on that. The sword was big as David. God, I wish y'all just let me preach. Watch this right here. Watch. David said, hey, Mr. John, you using that sword? I didn't think so. Come on, I know, it's the Kevin Version Bible right there, I'm sorry. He takes that sword that the giant is almost bigger than him, he climbs up on that giant, stands on his chest or his back. Everybody's like, what's David going to do? He said, I'm going to kill this problem. I'm not going to let it get up again, because the worst thing you can do is knock a giant out and let a giant wake up. Amen? Some of y'all, I'm serious, some of y'all do that. You come to church and you get the giant knocked out, but you don't ever finish the job. You keep hanging out around the church and you think that's enough, but you don't let God totally change you. He cuts the head of the giant off. Woo! Man, this guy, he's 9 foot tall. His punkin' head probably weighed 50 pounds. Your head's heavier than you think it is. And some of you, it's really heavy. Some of y'all doing that extra large cassette, 7 4/4. Sorry, y'all get that later. He reaches down. He scoops up the sword of the giant, but he also takes something else with him. It's weird. It's strange. And in 2021, you can't think like this. You definitely wouldn't get a job in the media. You wouldn't. Because it's manly. It's toxic masculinity is what it is. Sorry, some of y'all are going to have to get over that. Reaches down and picks his head up. No, that's cool. You can act like you don't think it's cool next to your wife, but you know, some later on go, that's pretty sweet. David's walking around with this guy. He's got his sword leaned up over his shoulder with the blood still on it. He didn't go by the wash and get it washed. He's got the thing's head, and he's walking, and he goes up, and he gets up to the tent of where, remember the men who told David that you probably can't face him because he's been a warrior since his birth, and you are just but a ruddy little child. David walks in the king's tent, sets the head down, puts his feet on the head. I would have. Or at least a cold drink. What y'all were saying before I went down there, you know, this giant, he just can't be defeated because he's been around. You know what I'm saying? I know, I take liberties with the Bible, but you know what? It ain't normal that you see a head in the king's tent anyway. So when we get to heaven, David, so I didn't go extravagant like that, I'd been like, all right, but it's still there, right? He would say, yes, it's still there. And everybody in that room's looking at that head of that giant going, golly. Everybody, every man in there was, I guarantee you, but like, oh gosh. That's awesome. And y'all said, man, what are you talking about, preacher? Everybody in this room's got issues that have got you scared, paranoid, fearful, worried, depressed. You're thinking about everything. Man, what am I going to You know what? Some of y'all need to face your issues in the name of Jesus. And if you want to go a step further that really works, in the blood of Jesus. The church stopped using that a long time ago, but the blood, the blood, the blood. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ on a situation that seems bigger than you. He's sitting there, and I don't know when it transpires. I don't know when it takes place, but there's another man in the room. There's another man in the room named Jonathan that is a pretty awesome man. That's why this intrigued me. That's why this thing changed, because I can get a sinner. I can get somebody who's deprived. I can get somebody who's way off, right, who's really a bad character. That's me. I can get that. But Jonathan's a good guy. Jonathan's pretty much a hero. At one time, Jonathan fought a whole army. Him and his dad were the only ones that had swords. And his dad was like, we're gonna have a fast, then we're going to pray, and then we're probably not going to go to the battle. It sounds like the modern-day church. Never mind. We're going to pray about it. But all of a sudden, Jonathan's sitting there going, I don't want to fast. I don't want to pray. I want to take some action. Amen. He looks at his armor bearer and he says, what is it? What is it? Where is it? What does it say if God can't deliver through a lot or through a few? What a bold statement. Amen. Some of y'all, wait, can I just preach to you? There's some of you in this room right now. Y'all are waiting for some magic thing to happen when there's going to be a million people side with you, and then you're going to start doing the thing that God called you to do. It never works that way. Sometimes you got to be the first one through the door. Sometimes you got to be the first one to say, well, I'll do it. Jonathan's standing there going, if they come down here, Mr. Armor Bearer Man, it ain't going to be good for us. But you know what? We ain't going to live forever. So we'll just give it a try. They were stuck between a rock and a hard place. You go in the Bible and study that out. But they say, well, watch, this is so good. I love guy stuff in the Bible. But Jonathan looks at him and says, listen, one sword. Y'all, if y'all get to understand that, Ray, like this. Okay, we have one sword between them. So the armor bearer's got all the armor that Jonathan needs. So if the battle breaks out, then the armor bearer gives the armor bearer to armor to Jonathan. Then guess what he's doing? Yeah, right, hook and jabbing, right. Okay, so guess what? He looks at him and says, if they happen to say, hey, you guys, come up here, then it's on. We're going to win. You're talking about optimistic. You're talking about faithful. All of a sudden, Jonathan and them pop up. They got nowhere to run. They got no support. They got no backup other than God. They show themselves in the army. Does the most amazing thing. You two alone down there? Yes, just us two. Well, come on up here. Oh, it's over for them guys. We're about to put a whoop on all these. They said that they had more camels and more armor. It looked like sand on the seashore. That's what it looked like. What kind of army they were fighting. But then God got on the scene with them, and I don't know how to biblically say this, but Gary, they started putting the whoop on them. If you don't know what the whoop is, it's two guys fighting, but God gets in the middle of it and starts fighting with you. And what's cool, this is cool, you'll love this stuff. What's right here? David, they get in this fight, and they're fighting, but all of a sudden God says, I'll get on your side. And next thing you know, the enemy's fighting each other and killing each other. If you'll just fight whatever you're struggling with Jesus, it'll destroy itself, and you won't have to do all of it because God will do the heavy lifting. He just needs you to take the first step. Now, that's Jonathan. Jonathan's a warrior. Jonathan's an amazing man. He's an honorable man. Let me explain. He's in the king's lineage. His daddy is the first king of Israel. He's the next king of Israel. He's getting trained. He's getting ready. But somewhere in the mix, he's sitting in a tent with a man that's got the head of a giant. He's seen him talk. Then he's seen him battle. Then he's seen him victorious. And he made up his mind. Ed, he made up his mind. He said, I don't need to be king. He does. It's not my plan. It's God's plan that's better. We don't really get into this, but when he took off all his stuff, his dad did the same thing. His dad gave David the armor. He did. But you know what he was wanting to do? He wanted David to pretend like it was him. Let me say it plainly. There's a lot of us, there's some of us, who want God to kind of wear our stuff and pretend like he's us and we're going to be all right. But it doesn't work that way. God is not, you're not God. You're not the one who directs God. He directs you. Amen? So what the difference was, and I wish y'all could get this, I really can't do this justice, but Jonathan starts taking off his armor and giving it to David, and his sword to David, only sword in the kingdom other than his father's. Then he takes off his identity. He takes off his lineage. So he gives up his lineage. He gives up his place. Whew. Man, I almost want to give up my lineage. It's not very good. It's all right. You know what I'm saying? I got good people, but I ain't got great people. My family's kind of like, you know, everybody said, are you kin to the Sheltons over here? You kin to the Sheltons over there? I'm like, no. Well, you're not really kin to anybody. Yeah, I know. So, you know, we're like a little scrap. We're like mutts, right? We don't really fit in anywhere. So the lineage ain't so big of a deal, but my place in line. And, man, my place in line, you know, some of y'all would fight over a place in the line, like at the restaurant, right? You go sign up until the lady party of two and let somebody came in there, you know, after you. Wait a minute. Right? Okay, now I'm talking to you. We don't give up our place. But he gave up his place in life. You know what he said? I prefer you over me. You for me. You for me. You become me. You do this instead of me because you are greater than me. David wasn't God, but he was getting on board with God's plan. Amen? Then he said, I want you to take my life. That's what's missing in most Christian lives, is we We give a profession. We give a word. We might even give them our line. We might even give them our lineage. But are we going to give them our life? No. I'm not talking about part of it. All of it. All of your life. Your success and your failure. Your brilliance and your ignorance. Your health and your sickness. So that's a problem. We give God our sickness, but we really don't want to give Him our health. We'll give Him the last years, but we won't give Him the first years. We'll give Him the last year, but we won't give Him the middle years. Amen? Or we put a stipulation. Let me preach the truth right here. Oh, I gave. I did some service. I did my 3 years. I did my 2 years. I worked in the youth when it was my turn. I did the nursery for a few years. You know what I mean? I did mine. Did my time. I worked with them kids. Kids. Right? I did my time. So now for the rest of the, you're done. You're off, right? Because you served, right? That's not life. Jonathan says, I give you my whole life, my identity, my everything. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, why did he do that? Why did he do that? What changed? What happened? I think I know what happened. He's seen David beat a giant, an enemy to his father that his father couldn't beat. An enemy that he couldn't beat. And then we did this a couple of weeks ago, an enemy that his son couldn't beat. He just done that one on credit. But it was Goliath. And he beat Goliath. And Goliath is a great enemy. Let's just call Goliath this. He's our sin in general. Amen? He's our sin in general, right? If you really study out David and Goliath, David is the anointed one. His father sent him down to the battle. Nobody could fight the battle but the anointed one. The anointed one went onto the battlefield, destroyed Goliath. That way nobody else had to fight Goliath. And then from that on, everybody else could fight the Philistines or sin because of what David had done. It's Jesus. It's Jesus 101. The Father sent the anointed one, Christ, to die on the cross for our sins that we wouldn't have to fight our big sin debt, but therefore we could fight all sin after that because of what Jesus did on the cross. But I think Jonathan was sitting there going, I've seen my daddy face a lot of things. But Goliath he couldn't beat. Goliath he wouldn't even fight. So I think I'm going to put my trust in faith in David instead of what I know. And this is where the message and the sermon got really, really real to me. It got really, really real to me and it changed. It changed from a preaching message to a get real message. See, when I was coming up through my life, I struggled through some areas in my life. I struggled, and I'll just give you this one. I don't care. I'll throw myself under the bus all the time. I'm glad it ain't on live video. But I struggled with lust most of my life. Really strong. Most of my life. And I thought I was the only one. I was like, man, I'm the only one. Well, come to find out, when my father passed away, the story started kind of leaking out through this person talking, that person talking, and I'm sitting in the room, and I start hearing. I'm like, huh. Before your dad got saved, he was married, but he was living with another woman. And my stepmom would go over to help my dad. But when she would get there, there'd be another woman there. So she would help him with the laundry and cleaning and stuff while the other one, I know. Some of y'all are sitting there going, I can't believe you're done. Don't worry, I'm not going to leave it all there. He wasn't saved. So I'm sitting there going, man, that's tough. My dad struggled with some of the same stuff I struggled with. Well, then all of a sudden he said, well, that ain't nothing because his mother, he was raised around that. But see, he had three brothers, but the two brothers were from another father, and he was from another guy who lived with the grandmother while the grandfather lived in an outbuilding at the house. man, I can't believe you're telling all this stuff. My dad will forgive me, don't worry. My grandmother too. Oh. Well, I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh my gosh. I thought I was the only one that was experiencing this craziness in my own life. Things that I wanted to do, things I was doing, things I was participating in. I thought, man, I'm the only one. But I wasn't. It was coming down in a lineage in my family that we couldn't beat. But the problem was, I've got kids. And I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. What if he's going to struggle with what I struggle with? But the only thing that changed me was the fact that I seen somebody slay a giant that my family couldn't slay. Jonathan said, there are some things that I've seen my dad do. See, his dad would go crazy and try to kill people. Some of you in this room, you've got things that have went on in your family for decades and decades and are still going on. There's anger. Some of y'all got, you get so angry, so mad. But you know what? That's going on through you. It went through your parents. It's going down to your kids. And you never say, hey, Jesus can help us with that. But we keep watching. We keep watching. Generations get destroyed by something that God has already defeated. Jonathan just looked at it. I wish I could, if I don't get anybody here today to understand this other than just the men. Jonathan shimmied out of everything, every bit of his identity. Real quick, when he seen God's plan and he seen God's plan was better than his plan, he just started taking everything off. He goes, I don't want to be anything that was related to my family. I want to get into his family. I wanted to get into relationship with you. I want to get into covenant with you, God. That way, when my kids say, how do we get out of this, Dad? Do what I did. Destroy your identity. Give it all away to God. Repent and let him be the Lord of your life. And the thing, because some of y'all are sitting here right now, I guarantee some of y'all thought, man, I can't believe our preacher shares some of this stuff. Well, we've got generations of people that are dying and going to hell because the church acts like it doesn't have any issues at all. We don't talk about this stuff because we want to, maybe we'll just make it through and the next generation won't catch it. They'll catch it bigger than we do. So I'm telling you, Jonathan said, I see a break. I see a break. If he can kill that giant, sin, he can kill the things that nobody talks about in our family. Some of you mothers need to, every once in a while, go to your daughters. I'm just going to say this. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. I just read this and studied it out. There are millions, almost millions of girls that are committing suicide on a regular basis because they're looking on Instagram and they're trying to compare themselves to women and girls that are perfect, they think perfect. Some of us need to reinstill and say, you are perfectly made by God and he loves you and we love you and you are beautiful just as you are. You don't need the approval, the likes. You don't have to have comments. And if they do, let them come from you. Some of the fathers in this room need to go to the daughters in this room and say, I approve of you. I love you. You are enough. You are enough. And some of the young men in this room need to stop looking through a lens of lust at young girls and start looking at who they are, women and children of God. We can break just about any bondage there is on this church and the families therein if we would give our lives wholly to Christ and show them that. And this is what it sounds like. When I say, Jonathan, come on. Come on and prepare for a song, whoever's singing. This is what it sounds like. Jonathan did this, and I don't know how he did it, but in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Jonathan did this thousands of years before this was written. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All of a sudden, Jonathan in the Old Testament seen God and God's plan and said, I choose that over choosing my own life. And you know what he said? He said, I pass away, but all things are becoming new. Amen? I want y'all to get this, and I want you to hear it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm going to say this last point while they're getting this song ready. I want you to hear this, and I want you to hear it clearly and robustly. I want you to hear it very, very clearly. Because this is lying at our problem in our country. There are many, many people that are saying they are Christians. There are many people that are telling people that they believe in Jesus. But I love what this scripture says right here. It says, behold. It says, behold, all things have become new. Do you know what behold means? Behold doesn't mean listen. Behold doesn't mean let me tell you who I am. You know what behold does? It says, look and see. See, when I got saved, my wife can testify, when I got saved, I went from telling her stuff to saying stuff like this. You'll just have to wait and see or look and see. I give away all my good secrets right here. She could never look at a phone of mine. She could never look at my wallet. She couldn't look in certain places in my car. Because I was a liar and a cheater. I was wretched. But when I got saved, one of the most awesome things happened. It's crazy fun. What's that? I don't know. Look at it. What is that? Go, I don't know. Look at it. Look at it and see. We're not hiding nothing. Because there's nothing to hide. There's nothing to hide. And when there's nothing to hide, you're talking about freedom. You're talking about being free. Amen? Behold, all things have come to you. You can write, you can go on Facebook and put out your testimony. I'm a born-again believer and I believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't like that, you can unfriend me, dislike me, whatever you want to do. Has anything changed in your life? Are you in love with Jesus? Is your old identity passed away? Has all things become new? Are you walking for Him, living for Him, loving for Him, giving to Him, sacrificing for Him? That's a difference. Him for me. Jesus took your place on a cross to give you eternal life. And the only thing He asked you to do after that, live for me. Let's all stand. If God's dealing with your